February is American Heart Month, a time for us to think about our heart health, especially important this year as it might get lost in all the other health concerns we're experiencing right now. This is Lisa Berry, and hoping to share a conversation that may touch your heart in more ways than one, we're joined by Dr. Kim Eagle, cardiologist, director of the Frankel Cardiovascular Center at the University of Michigan Health System, and professor of health management and policy at the School of Public Health. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
I'm guessing every month is Heart Month for you, Dr. Eagle.
Absolutely, Lisa. Heart disease is ubiquitous in our society, and it's also really ubiquitous around the world in developing countries. A tremendous amount of heart disease now. So we're at war with this problem all the time.
I wanted to have a conversation that goes beyond what I think we already hear. It's not difficult, I don't think, to find the basics of heart health, but here we are in this month dedicated to our heart health. What are some of the biggest causes of heart disease?
There are various types of heart disease that affect both women and men. Diseases of the heart muscle can be caused by high blood pressure or valvular heart disease or disruption of blood flow to the heart muscle called heart attack. That can create a problem called heart failure. Coronary heart disease, of course, is one of the things we talk about a lot. That's the development of blockages in the coronary arteries that are the necessary blood vessels bringing oxygen to the heart. But I think that the main message that I like to try to get across during Heart Month is that everybody needs to understand what their risks are, and they can do that through a visit with their provider, where we get some basic information that really helps us assess a person's situation today and their risk for tomorrow.
What are we looking at to calculate that risk?
There are a number of tools that I like to use in my office as I work with patients to estimate their cardiovascular risk. And thankfully, we have several tools online that patients and families can use to estimate their own individual risk. And that can be extremely helpful in informing how we devise further testing and treatment, particularly of things like blood pressure and cholesterol, for example.
Do you think people are afraid to face the truth about their heart health? Is it a difficult thing to come to terms with?
I think it is. And particularly, one of the challenges that we have is that we often are dealing with risk factors like blood pressure or high cholesterol that a person doesn't feel. And so the notion that I'm going to go and get a checkup and be told that my diet isn't very good and I'm overweight and I'm not exercising enough and, oh, by the way, I need to take some medications for things that actually I don't even feel, that could be a challenge to help patients understand the benefit. But I think it starts with basically saying, I care about my heart health. I want to engage with a provider to understand my risk. And then let's have a back and forth about both some of the lifestyle things that I can do to improve my health and, where appropriate, if there are medications that can help improve my health and move forward on that basis.
We hear a lot about exercise and heart health, but I think you have a way you like to talk about it, and that's with the word movement.
Yes, thanks, Lisa, for bringing that up. It's interesting in my practice. I find that some of my patients are almost allergic to the notion of exercise. The idea of getting on an elliptical and pounding away for an hour, just they're not going to do it. And their eyes will roll back. And so I try to reverse that completely and say, let's just talk about the value of movement. Simple walking is incredibly healthy for the heart. Getting on a stationary bicycle and just pedaling at a light speed is incredibly healthy. It's really been estimated that you can get about 80% of the total benefit of vigorous exercise with doing much less, just movement, where, oh gosh, Dr. Eagle, it's cold out, I can't walk on the ice. Well, let's have you go to the mall. Some of my patients just walk around their house. But I try to get them to do at least 30 minutes and preferably more. Or if they're really goal-directed, I'll say, try to get 10,000 steps a day. That's what I do. And I might get 3,000 or 4,000 steps at clinic and then top it off in the evening with 35 or 40 minutes just walking on a treadmill. But the notion is that movement is the key, not not formal exercise, not super intense exercise. That's great if you want to do it, but you don't have to. Movement is so healthy, and it can just be walking around the campus, for example.
So here you are, an esteemed physician and cardiologist and scientist, and I want to ask you a question as a heart specialist. If someone's about to put an unhealthy morsel of food in their mouth, what can you say to us that would make us want to stop and rethink doing that?
Great question. I really like to get my patients to work with our dietitians to, and I want, what I want to have happen is for there to be an active dialogue about what am I currently doing? And then what could I substitute for some of the less healthy choices that might be just as tasty, but healthier for me? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
In other words, I don't want to talk at the 20,000 foot level. I want to try to get into your plate and say, okay, what did you have for breakfast? What did you have for lunch? Let's do a whole week worth of food diary. And then let's look at things that you're eating that might be really high in salt, which tends to drive blood pressure, really high in fat, that tends to drive high cholesterol, and really high in sugar, that tends to drive diabetes risk, for example. And often, when we get into a person's food habits, we can identify some targets that they're willing to give up and substitute something else. And once again, we're moving from the current situation to a gradual evolution to something that's healthier. And we're not doing a wholesale change today, but we're going to start someplace and then try to move forward. And I really try to stress the notion that I want to use diet to target health. I'm not going to focus so much on a person's weight. I'm going to focus on the health of their diet and their movement. If we can control things like their blood pressure, their cholesterol, their blood sugar, their weight is a lot less important than those risk factors that we've talked about today.
I think a lot of people go to a doctor, they go to a cardiologist and look to you as the heart health expert. But I think I get the feeling from you, Dr. Eagle, that you're looking back at your patients and saying, ultimately, this is up to you.
Yeah, this is such an important concept for us to get at. And that is the notion that if there's anything I would like to try to promote, it's ownership. I want you to own your health. I want you to understand your risk. I want you to understand the possible benefits that we can achieve with risk reduction, lifestyle, medications, et cetera. And if I can get you to feel empowered that you're not a victim but a victor, and that you can own your diet and you can wake up every day and make choices for movement and diet which are going to be healthier, then we will see a major change in risk, and I think both a healthier and longer life. You know, when I started taking care of our former football coach, Bo Schembechler, the first time he came to see me, he asked me how I thought he was doing, and I wasn't pleased with the medications he was on, but I was really unpleased, both his lifestyle with regard to diet and also exercise. And so at the end of our conversation, he said, how am I doing? And I said, I'm not happy with your medicines. I'm not happy with how much you're moving every day. I'm not happy with your diet. But I'm especially, coach, unhappy with your attitude. You can imagine Bo Schembechler when I said that. But what I meant was that he was acting like he was the victim. And I said, you know, you have to start acting like you're in the game. You have to start waking up each day and say, I'm in control of my destiny. I control what I eat. I control how much I move. I control whether or not I take my medications. And what I need is a coach. That's my doctor to help me achieve my maximum health state. And I agree to own this. So a lot of my dialogue with my patients is trying to get them to understand that this is their game and I'm their coach. And we want to get really on the same page with things that are achievable, not dreams, but achievable. And start one day at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 month at a time.
So you're talking about Bo Schembechler, the former University of Michigan football coach, and you even wrote a book about it called The Heart of a Champion?
Yeah, Bo and I, we wanted to try to kind of illuminate for people this notion of owning your heart health. And so we, in his words, we wrote his story, which was basically a 40-year journey against heart disease of all kinds.
owning your heart health. What a great way to put it. And there's more to be gained than lost. What's your closing thoughts for Heart Health Month, Dr. Kim Eagle, that you want to share with us?
Well, first, I want to thank you for allowing me to talk to your listeners today. I really would challenge them during Heart Health to ask themselves, have I had a checkup recently? Do I really know where I'm at in terms of my blood pressure, my cholesterol, my blood sugar? Do I really understand fully my nutritional goals and my movement goals? And if not, please work with a healthcare provider that you trust, who listens to you, who cares about you, and start taking on this menace. Heart disease kills more women than any other disease in the world. It kills more men than any other disease in the world. And Heart Month is a chance to sort of take stock and get started on fighting for a healthy heart future.
Dr. Kim Eagle, cardiologist, director of the Frankel Cardiovascular Center at the University of Michigan Health System. Thanks so much for talking to us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Thank you very much.